Now we're back here with three wonderful ladies that we've all listened to.
We should say four now, Geraldine, you're here as well.
So we're going to just have a general chat about, we've talked about it already, how you had to give up things and look to new horizons and establish things, all of you, while you were getting to your goals. I'm just thinking, all of you had children, and we've kind of touched on it already, but it must have been very difficult. You know, Anne has just said it there a minute ago when we were talking about it, that somebody said they wanted to give their children a break from them. And that's true too. But it takes a heck of a lot of organising if you have small children to get up in the morning and go. So what do you think about that, ladies? How difficult was that? When you left in the morning, Anne?
Yeah, I think organisation was key. And I suppose there was always a bag, in fact, I should always have a bag at the front door. I say, I leave things into that now, at least I won't forget it. I suppose you make it work. But, you know, I think you do sacrifice in other areas. I suppose your social life or your time at home within the community is very limited because you're working. I worked all my life for full time. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily recommend working full time. I do think part time is the ideal scenario. But you do what you do. I've no regrets. I mean, I wouldn't have got where I am, I suppose, without that, but I certainly don't think the generations coming up would continue to work full time and raise a family. I mean,
and yet they have to work now, don't they, Anne?
They do.
They really do.
I suppose they have to, but certainly it was challenging. But I don't have any regrets.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about regrets. I'm just talking about the difficulties you faced.
Oh, absolutely.
And how you overcome them, you know.
It was just, I worked really, really hard, and there was very little time for other things in life. So I suppose what you do is you sacrifice hobbies or, you know, meeting up with friends or getting involved in community things. Because you're consumed with work and just getting home and getting ready for the next day again.
And there's a constant list in your head, isn't there?
Constant.
Yeah. Mary, how did you find it? You said there a little while ago when we were off air that you brought a baby into work. Where was that? Into work?
Into work, yes. Yeah. Well, just the same as Anne, you have to give something up. But I don't think you think about it, you just do it.
You have to do it, really.
We were starting the school and the baby had arrived just before we opened, so there was only me. So he had to come with me in the beginning and sit in his bouncy chair while we
but you managed
did what we had to do. And then I remember the first time when we were running a conference in Sweden, and I had four at that stage, and I made a deal with them. So I said, you know, we'll spend a week in Denmark and we'll do different things, but then you have to come to Sweden and you have to sit in the foyer and you just have to sit there for the next 3 days. And that was quite interesting because nobody at that kind of conference had seen children before. So they were a great kind of talking point.
What ages were they then, Mary?
I suppose they would have been about 12 down to 5, that kind of age group,
A big range. So 5-year-old might have been difficult to
create a bit of a stir. But
people react well to children generally, don't they?
Well, they did,
especially
when
they're not expecting them.
Yeah.
You know, if you know what I mean by that, because sometimes they're going, oh, it won't suit a conference or it won't suit a this. And then it happens and everybody just rallies round and makes them part of the whole scene.
Yeah. And it was that thing of making a deal with them that they got something out of it, but then they had to
do the
other
bit. That was a good deal now. I'm sure they were delighted with that deal. I would have been.
A very good life skill too. Yeah. You know, compromise. And
You took time out from work,
Mary. I did time out. I didn't actually work I was out of work for 20 years when I went back.
Yes.
And
that was difficult so now.
It was a huge element, but at the same time, the time was right. And there's an element of that in it as well. Mm. And so the time was right. So I did a back to nursing course because I knew, I looked at a lot of different things, and I had been very involved in the community, and I had been doing a lot of, I had done other things. I had done massage therapy and aromatherapy and things like that, and I had done hours in that, and I had looked at various things. And then I said to myself, I'm a trained nurse. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face facts here and see what will come out of it. So I went back to work then. My youngest at the time was 6.
That's a difficult age.
But in all fairness now, William was great, and he brought her over and back to school. And there was older ones. My eldest one was just starting college. So it was, there was a good range in it.
Mary, I just wanted to ask you there. You came to Ireland to live, and how did your Your children went to college here, didn't they?
Oh, they did.
How did that? Were you living in Ireland for quite a while before that happened, or?
Oh yes, I came over. Yeah. I came back when I was 21.
Oh, right. So they grew up here.
They grew up here. They're Irish. They call me English when they want to annoy me. Yeah. But they're fully Irish. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no regrets.
No regrets.
And no regrets about coming to Tungrani.
No, it was different, and I did know some people, but I came down and I said, well, I just have to join everything, because how else do you get to know people or meet people?
But people have this concept that everything happens in a town or a city.
Yeah.
They're wrong. Everything's happening in the country.
Yeah.
If you listen to the news headlines that we read out here, the amount of stuff that's happening in all the communities around East Clare, it's just fascinating, really. You could be going 24 hours a day and still have not enough time.
The problem is not knowing. There's no way of finding out.
Listen to the news here in every Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's but
sorry.
Say when I came down,
I know,
you know, have to join because it's so much word of mouth.
Yeah.
Where it's more obvious, I suppose, in a big town.
But you were drawn into it very quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you find that yourself, Geraldine, when you moved to an area like Scariff, that once you got involved in things, you became part of the community?
See, when I moved here, my children were really small. Yes. So it took me a long while just to... it was through schools that I got to know people and my neighbours. Mm. And it was only when I joined the drama group, really.
Yeah.
That was my escape and my hobby and something for me. That I hadn't had for years, really. Yeah. So it was great. I got as much out of drama as I put into it, and I put a lot into it. So that was for me.
And Geraldine, can I ask you, did you, before you joined the Scariff Drama Group, were you involved in drama?
No. I did one act thing in Lismore one time. I had three lines.
Okay.
If that qualifies.
And let's not forget she went on to win the All-Ireland Best Actress at the All-Ireland Open Festival. I mean, this is no mean achievement for anybody.
And the Drama Festival is absolutely wonderful.
Well, that's
wonderful.
Great for the community. It is really wonderful. And truly. Yeah. Ladies, I'm in awe of the three of you. And
likewise with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming in. I think it was a most interesting programme, and we'll have you all again because you've opened other windows for me to come back at you now and talk to you again. Thank you so much. We'll have a piece of music. Luke here is our technician this morning, and he's looking after us very well. Thank you, Luke. Thank you. Now we have the lady who owns the premises here, Lara Krubbs. You're very welcome, Lara, and thank you so much for hosting us here this morning.
You're very welcome too.
Yeah, you've been very busy, I see.
Yeah.
We had planned to interview at the beginning, but that wasn't possible.
I was making coffee.
You were making coffee.
And lovely coffee, I might add. And you have 50 indoors out there.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Lara, tell us how you came to live in Tuam Greinne.
So, as a child in the 80s, we always came on holiday to visit family. And later on, my parents decided to move to Ireland and leave my sister and myself in Holland.
Oh.
And just before the financial crisis, my partner and I thought, oh, why not live for a little while with the parents? And that was before the crash.
Right.
So then we were 3 months here and the crash came and we had jobs, so there was no point of going back, although Ireland kind of went down the drain quickly.
Yes, yeah.
So at the time that we thought, do we go back? It was actually Holland going into recession and we still had work, so we kind of saved and got kids and just go for holidays now to Holland.
Yes, yeah.
You're here since.
Have you settled here, Lara?
Sorry?
Do you feel you have settled here?
Yeah.
Are you here many years now?
Nearly 16. Yeah, in June.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the pace of life is just a bit more relaxed than the part in Holland where I'm from.
What Maybe part are you from?
Just above Amsterdam.
Oh, yes, you're in the thick of it, as it were.
So, I think it's just nicer, just a bit more relaxed. Maybe Dublin is the same as Holland, I don't know. But
Maybe,
here it's
Yeah, and your children have settled here and they're at school.
Born are here,
they some in college? Have you one in college?
One here in secondary school in Scariff and one in O'Gonnellow.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when did you open the trading post?
So that was in spring 2018. We had done 3 times a Christmas market in that unit.
Right.
And the last one in 2017 was so good that we thought, as a group, we need to do something with this. So it basically started off as a market in a shop with all, mostly local people that did crafts or baked cakes.
You got their stuff, you bought their stuff. Yeah.
And we just put it together and went off well the first year. And then, of course, in the second year, we went into the lockdowns.
Yes.
So it's been a roller coaster up and down, but it's still fun, so we still do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you've moved here now to your new premises and you've expanded a lot, haven't you?
Well, it's bigger. The cafe is bigger.
And you're doing more, you're offering more, a bigger menu.
A bigger menu, as well as that in the other shop, we have so many creative people here that we wanted to do workshops and stuff. And basically, we didn't really have the space for that in the other unit. We had a lovely garden there where we did do things. Sometimes there was music in summer or over summer and other stuff. But like last summer was so bad that we couldn't use the garden at all. So we were kind of in doubt. What are we going to do? Do we just quit altogether? Mm-hmm. Or do we give it a try somewhere else? We didn't know that this was empty. It was just actually by accident that we found it and looked at it and first thought, oh, maybe that's too big. But then in November, we thought, no, if we want to do it, we do it now or we won't ever.
Right.
So that's the sudden move.
So
are all your offerings local?
Most are local, yeah. And then there's one lady that does a lot of charity work in Haiti and Kenya, I believe. That's Didi, actually, from Sunrise Farm in Whitegate.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So she has crafts from those people out of those other countries.
Yes.
But mostly it's local. There could be a few from the south of Galway.
Yeah. There's an amazing array of stuff. You know, you need to be here to see from the knitwear to the jewellery to the crafts to posters. You know,
pictures.
Yes.
And even the mix now of the old stuff that was here in the pub.
Yes.
It complements.
It's a bit quirky.
It's hard to believe that we're actually sitting here in Hassett's Bar as we knew it. And what you've done with that, I have to compliment you on your ability to actually transform what was a bar into like a cafe and a craft shop. And you've done it quite well. And I would encourage any of the listeners who maybe haven't been in to certainly check it out. As Marianne referred, the coffee's beautiful. And tell us about your lovely pizza nights. I didn't realise
it
was such
a... This is new now. I haven't heard of this.
So we've been selling pizzas already in the other place as well. And now we've decided to open on Friday evenings until 8 o'clock. You can eat in or take away. As we're still kind of settling in, it's just trying out different things. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we want to open longer on Saturdays and Sundays as well. We think they're really good. That's why we still sell them. Mm-hmm. And so far, the people that have come out and tried them thought they were good as well. So
that's great. Isn't it amazing the way Irish people have taken to pizzas?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a traditional food by any manner of means.
Kids love them.
And yet it is something that just...
Yeah. Well, it's easy food, I think.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is.
Yes.
And sometimes on Friday nights, they have to keep an eye out on our Facebook. We have music as well.
Oh, nice one.
Next Friday, the 12th, we have Marijke Jordan. She's a Belgian girl that sings beautifully. She just comes with the guitar. And even if you don't take a pizza, you're still welcome to come and join in.
Is that next Friday night?
Coming Friday.
Okay.
And then every last Friday of the month, we have SEM sessions, which are sharing acoustic music sessions. So that's kind of from 5 to 8, where everybody can join in, whether you can sing or not.
Yeah, but you need to get the word out there.
We have to. We're slowly doing it, but because everything is new to us as well, we didn't want to go full on and then make mistakes and nobody coming back. So bit by bit.
Yeah. So repeat what you're offering now on a Friday night so that the listeners can look out for it.
We're open until 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. We have we have all our cakes and toasties and stuff, but we do extra pizza night sometimes with offers on drinks and stuff for takeaway or eating in. And we're actually working at the moment on the bring your own bottle, because we don't have a wine license yet.
Yeah.
So that would be nice for some.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea, particularly in the times that we're in, the idea of bringing your own. And I think a Friday night is a night maybe you want to take a break from cooking. So having this pizza offering on a Friday night is a super idea.
Yeah, and we're actually going to add lasagnas to it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Also homemade by one of our bakers, and maybe curries. But I said, it's still a work in progress.
That would be wonderful. People who are working, young people working on a Friday evening, wouldn't it, together?
Families.
And are you open every day here?
We're closed on Mondays at the moment, and other than that, open every day. And Sundays is kind of 11 to 3, and the rest is 10 to 5 now.
Yeah. So have you enough help, or can you manage?
At the moment, we can manage, but I think going into the season, we definitely could use some extra hands.
Yes.
Well, hopefully.
Well, if you're doing a lot of cooking, it's very difficult to serve and cook. And serve. This place is actually ideal, though, because you have the section and you can run through, but there's a way to the other bar where people can sit and order as well.
Yeah.
So it works well like that.
Yeah. You know. We can see both sides,
And I presume you have a kitchen at the back.
Small kitchen.
And would you envisage eventually getting a wine license or something like that?
Yeah, it's something that we'll definitely look at. But at the moment, we're still kind of a cafe and not a restaurant.
And
for us, it's kind of like, what way is it going?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If there's more people coming later in the day for food, then we could definitely think about it.
Yes.
But for now,
as we say, cut your cloth to suit your measure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but it's a busy area. You've a lot of traffic passing by here, don't you? You know, it's the main gateway on towards Killaloe, so there's bound to be a lot of traffic passing by going to Scariff and Killaloe.
Yeah.
But people don't know about it.
No.
I think that's the big thing.
Well, we need better signage.
Yeah.
And with this stormy day, my sign just blew off the wall outside.
I know. All your plants were down as well when we came this morning.
Plants were all over the place. Yeah. So we'll have to look at maybe the name, a different signage, and definitely we have 3 flagpoles, big flags that there's a cafe, pizza, craft, something.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look, we wish you the very, very best from now on, Laura. We'll be watching to see what you're offering.
Yes.
And hopefully Friday night might be
pizza night.
And spread the word, exactly. Yeah. We'll let people know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Thank you so much for hosting us. Thank you for the lovely coffee. I think we might be testing it again in a few minutes. Thank you very much, Laura.
And thank you, too.
Continued success in your enterprise.
Thank you.
Oh, is it wrap-up time? Is it? Okay. So first of all, may I thank our sponsors, James M. Nash and Co. Solicitors, and Durr Kitchen Design, Tom Graney. And do we have an outside broadcast, Michael Long, for sponsoring our outside broadcast, because we're here in the Trading Post in Tom Graney today. And I hope the Harp Festival here in Tom Graney is a wonderful success. And please God, we'll be back, or somebody will be back next year to interview another group of people. And thank you again, Laura.